Scripture we're going to focus on today is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I'll just read that again. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's funny how we can be so ungrateful at times, and then when we look back, we think, that was probably not the best attitude to have, because things actually turned out okay. About 12 years ago, Melissa and I were traveling with our kids through South Africa, and we've been traveling all day up from Cape Town, and we were coming into this town, Bloemfontein, those that know South Africa. And we were told, you shouldn't be driving around South Africa at night, so we were kind of urged, really wanting to find somewhere to stop, and we really didn't know where we were or where to go. We were just hoping we'd find something open that we could crash. And I saw this sign coming up, and it was Caravan Park. I thought, that's it. They'll have somewhere we can stay. So followed the signs and got to the caravan park and rocked in, and they said, sorry, we're full. And I was like, oh, I'm tired, I'm grumpy, I'm hungry, I just want to stop. And they said, look, there's a guest house not far from here, and maybe they can fit you in. And in my mind I'm thinking, how much is that going to cost? But some guys can relate. So anyway, sure enough, they had a room, and when we got there, they said, yeah, we can fit you in. And turns out they gave us the honeymoon suite, which had an adjoining room to it where the kids could sleep, and Melissa and I had were able to get food brought to our room, and we had we were able to relax in our own spa. And I was and I was thinking, and not only that, they gave it to us at like half price. And so that appealed to me even more. And so I'm thinking, wow, I was so ungrateful. All I wanted to do was stop, and I was happy to sleep in a tent. And God's given us this amazing blessing. A similar thing happened when Melissa and I had been working in Margaret River for about 4 months, and those that know Margaret River, it's actually an amazing, beautiful place. And anyway, the temporary job I had down there was coming to an end, and I applied for another job, which I thought I was a sure foot in. And everyone thought, yeah, no worries, we'll be staying in Margaret River. We're so happy about it. Just thinking, this is it. And then got pipped at the post by someone who was much more qualified than me and missed out on the job. Anyway, all along, Meriden Church Christ had been calling me as a pastor there, and we'd kind of thought, oh, Meriden. And in the end, all the other doors had closed, and this was the only door. And Melissa cried all the way to Meriden. Anyway, not only that, we arrived there, and the church manse where they wanted us to stay, the whole thing was painted pink and grey, and then on the front door there was a LED light of a galah, and she cried, they've brought us to the galah house. But it turned out to be five of the most amazing years of our lives. It was just the right place, the right fit for me as a pastor, and just a great time for us with our kids being young, growing up. I think there was about 30 kids in the street, all under the age of school age. It was just such a great environment for our kids to grow up, and it worked out really well. But, we can look back and remember times that we've been grateful, yet I think we can remember a lot of other times where we were so blessed, but we weren't grateful, and we didn't take time to count our blessing, to say thank you. And Jesus experienced this kind of attitude one day when he was approached by 10 people who had leprosy. And if you want to look along, it's Luke 17, verse 11. So it says here in verse 11, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, ten men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out to in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw Jesus was when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice and threw himself at the feet of Jesus, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has only one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Just notice there that, you know, he's already healed, and then he says, your faith has made you well. Maybe there was a deeper healing that was taking place. So the interesting thing about this story is that it was the foreigner who returned to say thanks to Jesus. Could it be that the other 9 were so used to being blessed that when it came, it just came as an expectation? So much so they didn't even bother to return to say thanks. I've been involved in taking students from Swan Christian College on mission trips for the last 12 years. I think we're up to about 20 trips that we've run as a college. Thailand, Cambodia, Zambia. And one of the, probably the most common thing that is said by students when they get back from these trips is, wow, how much, I've just realised how much I take for granted. They are so amazed at not only how much they take for granted, but how happy people are in these countries despite what little they have. On one short-term mission trip, and I wasn't on this particular trip, it was to the Philippines, there was some young Aussies that built quite a strong relationship with some Filipino guys. And over the couple of weeks there, they built a really strong bond. And when it came to saying goodbye, it was very difficult. They were, there was tears and there was hugs and they were saying, you know, it's been so good to get to know you. And then one of the Christian Filipino guys said, look, it's okay, we'll see each other again. And he said, the Aussie guy said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, in heaven, we'll see each other in heaven. And then the Aussie guy said, well, what do you think that'll be like, heaven? And they said, oh, it'll be amazing. We'll have a mattress to sleep on and 3 meals a day and hot shower and a really nice place to live. And the Aussie guys looked at each other and went, whoa. You know, the lifestyle that we take for granted for many is what they think heaven will be like. We truly have a lot to be grateful for. Everything comes down to perspective. There's another quote I read. It said, it doesn't matter that the glass is half full or half empty. Be grateful that there's something in the glass. And the hymn, I love the hymn, Count Your Blessings. Count your blessings, count them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. So why is it important to have an attitude of gratitude? Grateful people are happy people. Brother David Stendhal Rast said, it's not happiness that makes us grateful, but gratefulness that makes us happy. Because grateful people are thankful and content with their lives, they're generally happy people. I remember in Zambia once walking along and seeing this Zambian guy just sitting on the side of the road in the dust. And I said, he smiled, gave me a bit of a smile, and I said, how are you? How are you going? And he said, suffering in peace. And I thought, wow, you know, this guy had an understanding of what it meant to be content despite his circumstances. But we need to be careful we don't put on a facade of being happy. Often the happy, people who often appear the happiest in the world on the outside, underneath can be very miserable and dissatisfied with their lives. And some of us will know what I'm talking about if you've been watching the news this week. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he will flee. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. In this passage, God challenges those who are trying to conjure up happiness in their own strength. They're looking to the world for their joy. We know that when we do that, this only lasts a short time. God calls us to be authentic, but to do that, we have to be humble. The devil motivates us out of fear to put on a happy face and a mask so that we'll get the approval of others. We don't want people to see us as we really are. And Satan's putting those thoughts in our mind. Act happy. Then they'll like you. Then you'll be okay. And the Lord says, resist the devil, submit to God, wail, mourn, weep. Be real about your emotion, about who you really are, and God will lift you up. Power in that. Tells us in 1 John that true love casts out fear. It's out of God and him alone that we can truly be joyful and truly content. In the Good News translation, the Sermon on the Mount, it says, happy are those who know that they are spiritually poor, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Happy are those who mourn, for God will comfort them. Happy are those who are humble, for they will receive what God has promised. And in Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing will come in the morning. Let's be grateful and happy people, but not in our own strength or from what the world provides. But let's find our joy in the Holy Ghost. Next thing I want to say is, grateful people are nice to be around because they're appreciative. They don't just appreciate the small things you do for them, but they thank you for it. And that's important. And we see that in the scripture I read out earlier about the people with leprosy. Obviously, it's important because Jesus made a deal about the guy who came back to say thank you. I'm sure, you know, the other nine were probably pretty happy and thankful, but they didn't actually come back and say they were thankful. And that's important. So have we said thank you? Have we told our parents we're thankful? We thank them. Our teachers, our pastor, our friends at church, the tax man. Melissa and I just found out we're getting a big tax return, so we're grateful. But that's the problem, isn't it? Thessalonians says, in all circumstances. I'm finding it encouraging or challenging when I read Habakkuk, the prophet. He says, though the fig tree does not bud and there's no grape on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there be no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. He's not basing his gratitude and his joy on outward circumstances. So how do we become more grateful? I think we need to stop comparing ourselves with everyone else. We won't be thankful if we always expect to win, to get the biggest and the best, to have what our neighbour has. We need to take an inventory and be grateful for what we do have. An old Indian proverb says, I complained about having no shoes until I met someone who had no feet. And this other thing I found on the internet, good place, the internet, sometimes. If you have food in the fridge, clothes on your back, roof over your head, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. If you have money in the bank, your wallet and some small change, and some spare change, you are among 8% of the world's wealthiest. If you wake up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than a million people who will die this week, who will not survive this week, sorry. If you have never experienced the danger of battle, the agony of imprisonment or torture, and the horrible pangs of starvation, you're luckier than 500 million people alive and suffering. If you can read this message, you are more fortunate than 3 billion people in the world who cannot read it all. The late American President JFK said, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. What he's trying to say is that actions speak louder than words. James puts it like this, faith without works is dead. Life that is thankful is demonstrative. Let me go through a few characters in the Bible and how they shared their gratitude. When Moses was delivered from the Egyptians, you might remember when they came through the sea, he led the people in a worship song. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. I don't think he'll ever make number one. But it was a song of gratitude from the heart. Hannah was so grateful when she finally became pregnant and had her child that she actually gave that child back to the Lord for his service, Prophet Samuel. David danced into Jerusalem half naked with the Ark of the Covenant when the Ark of the Covenant was returned. When challenged by his wife Miriam about his behavior, he said, I'll become even more undignified than this. You know, he was dancing before the Lord and he didn't care what it meant to show his gratitude to God. A man formerly known as Legion, who was demon-possessed by 1,000 demons or more, was so grateful when Jesus delivered him, he said, I just want to be with you, Jesus. Please, can I go where you're going? And Jesus said, no, I can't. You can't come with me now, but go and tell other people what has happened to you. Woman with the two small coins. Gave her two small coins. And Jesus said, all of you give out of your abundance. She has given everything. Zacchaeus was so grateful and Jesus invited him down from the tree, shortest guy in the crowd, and he's like, come down from that tree. I'm going to have lunch at your house today. He was so grateful. He gave away half his possessions and anyone he'd stolen from, he gave them four times back what he'd owed them. Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today. The woman with the alabaster jar of perfume says it cost more than a year's salary. She poured the whole lot out. She broke it. She poured the whole lot out over Jesus. And she was willing to get down on her knees and cry and weep over him and wipe up her tears with her hair. And, you know, she was reckless in her love and her devotion to Jesus. Finally, let's look at Revelation 4, 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne of worship, who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. these elders received crowns for what they'd done here on earth. And yet they threw them back down at Jesus' feet and they say, "You deserve the glory. You deserve the honour." They understood the scripture in John 15, which says, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branch. Without me, you can do nothing." To finish with, I think we need to be truly grateful. We need to consider the big picture because, you know, some of us, in the midst of our dark hour, the turmoil we face, it is hard to follow through that scripture that says to be thankful in all circumstances. But sometimes we need to take a step back and see the big picture. Romans 8 says, "Our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to us." And later in that chapter, it says, "If God is for us, who can be against us? That he did not spare even his only son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So if we're struggling to find something grateful for today, if things seem dim and dark, here it is, right here. He did not spare his own son for you. When all is done, we have an eternal hope that cannot be shaken. We need to count our blessings, count them one by one. Count our blessings and see what God has done. I want to finish with a prayer of a Confederate soldier, and this guy, I believe, really had a good handle on seeing things in the right perspective. He says, I asked God for strength that I might achieve, but I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I'm thinking of Nick Vujicic with no arms and legs and the amazing way God's used him. I pray for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I, among all men, am most richly blessed. Please join with me as we pray. Father God, as we meditate on these words today, we are reminded of just how fortunate we really are, Father, that you've done so much for us. And forgive us, Lord, for when we've failed to come before you and to come to your feet and to, as the leper did, give you the glory and praise and thanks that you deserve. Enrich our hearts today, Father, that we might give you the glory and honour you deserve, Father, that we might make you number one in our lives, that we might not just be lip service but be demonstrative as the people we read about in the Bible, that we would unashamedly devote ourselves to you and your service, and Father, to do it out of a joyful and grateful heart. So we commit, Father, the rest of our meeting to you, Lord, with the things we have to hear and discuss. And we thank you, Lord, for everyone here. And I know there's people here that do a lot of work behind the scenes. And maybe no one's ever said thank you to them. But, Lord, I know you see them and you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so we thank you, Lord. In your precious name, amen. We have a song now from the musicians.